I am not referring to, sorry? Yeah, Vayechu, but not a reference to Tosefos. That's what we've spoken about many times. I'm not talking about that. Although that is a... Tosefos Shabbos is a topic that relates to both Shabbos and Sefrasha, but I'm not talking about that. We've talked about that too many times. Sorry? Right, you can always add on to it. It's true. But we'd like to talk about tonight, also we have spoken about in the past a little bit, that is, anyway, fine. Okay, so the topic I'd like to talk about that is related to Shabbos and Sukkot Parsha is a little bit the...
Okay.
Is the topic of Kiddush, which the system for which our family is Parsha, and that's a Shabbos topic. All right, so we basically assume that the mitzvah of Kiddush is a mitzvah in our Torah. In fact, it's one of the Big Ten, it's one of the Asaras Adibras. And the Torah says Zachar Hashem Shabbos LeKadosho, one of the Asaras Adibras. And which part of it is the Raisa? So that has to be a Machlokes HaRishonim. That Talmud and Sachem says that this mitzvah of Zachar Shabbos, Zachar Hashem Shabbos, Zachareyu Al HaYayin, that the Hazkara of Shabbos should be done together with wine. But it's a Machlokes HaRishonim whether or not that wine is the Raisa. To say something may even be, the Midrasha may even be that you could be Yotze with Machshav Ba'alma, just very literally remembering, but we'll assume that you have to at least say something, that part, at least saying, is Minat Torah. But whether or not the saying of anything has to be accompanied by the wine, so it certainly does, the Gemara says, whether or not that is the obligation of Minat Torah, so that's Machlok Tarishonim. According to Rashi and Maseches Nazir and Avdala and Aleph, the wine is daraisa, but the Rashi is not. That Rashi is not really Rashi. It's a fake Rashi. We call it the Mefarish. The Rashi, it's the guy writing in Rashi's handwriting. And Dalai Mar Aleph and Nazir. This also seems to be opinion of the Rush and Sochem and Av Kabbalah, as well as Ran and Shabbos. But there are many Rishonim who believe that wine is Drabanan. This seems to be opinion of Tosus over there in Nazir. And the Shuvas HaRashba, and the Rebbeinu Hanan Olam Sofim, and that is the conclusion that the Shagas Aryeh writes in his essays in Simon Samuel. And that Tosfos and Sofim actually brings two opinions. One is that the wine is Drabanan, and the second is that the wine is actually Doraisa, but the idea that Hamavarech Tzorech Lito, the idea that there has to be a drinking of the wine, that's the Rabban. So basically we have three shitas as to what it is that's the Raisa, which is not counting again the position that we mentioned that there are those who even hold that you could be okay with here. But not so much counting that, assuming you have to say something, there are three positions within that. Is it just saying that's the Raisa, or is it saying and drinking wine, or is it saying and having wine, but drinking it is that the Rabba. So one could declare in general, as the Achronim do, so what exactly is the tafkid of the wine in Kiddush? Or more specifically, what exactly is the tafkid of the bracha of Varei Pri HaGafen? That we're making a bracha of Varei Pri HaGafen during Kiddush. So what role does that play? On the one hand, you could say that we have a concept in general of brachas halakos. You find this most commonly, perhaps, in benching. You find this by the chuppah. Seven brachas under the chuppah are made halakos. So it could be that that's what's going on here also. That Chazal, in general, preferred that a bracha would be made not by itself, but would be accompanied by a glass of wine, a cup of wine. And maybe that's what's going on here also. That Chazal wanted that Kiddush shouldn't just be a bracha, but that Kiddush should be accompanied with wine. That people don't take bracha so seriously because it's just speech, it's just amira, so it doesn't really look like it's a mitzvah. So we want to make it more of an event, so we want to accompany with wine. So same thing you do with Birchas HaMazon. Even though Birchas HaMazon is fine by itself, but Chazal were masaking the davka al hakos. You may recall that we had a similar question in discussing dalakosis, the four cups of wine. Right, that's associated with the brisket rub, but let's discuss as well the mitzvah to have four cups of wine Pesach night. Is that an inyan of drinking four cups of wine? Or maybe the inyan is that there are four mitzvahs of Amira, and that those mitzvahs of Amira, so Chazal preferred very strongly in that case, that they be done al hakos. So it could be that's what Kiddush is about also, that maybe Kiddush is really just a bracha, but we want that the bracha should be taken more seriously. So we want to insert the kos of wine there also to have the bracha ala kos. Or you could say that's not the case. That maybe when it comes to Kiddush, the Baruch Pri HaGafen adopts a more central role, and that for some reason, we'll try to figure out what the reason is, that for some reason the kos becomes part and parcel of the Kiddush experience. Hello. How are you?
Okay.
Awesome.
According to Mafarish and right. Ben Hanano, what is the Makor? Is the Torah what's Makor?
What's Makor of what? Well,
it's the reason.
The Gemara understands that Gemara seems to darshan in the Pasuk. The Pasuk goes, Zachar Hashem HaShav HaFakash, with the Makor for Kiddush. So the Gemara says, Zachreyu Al Hayayin. There's basically a dispute in Rishonim, how do you read that phrase in the Gemara? Is the Gemara interpreting the Zachira as meaning Zecher, Zecheru Al Yayin? Or are Chazal adding on to that din that we have a din of Zechira, and Chazal will tell you, do that Zecheru Al Yayin. So you could be asking, you may be asking in a deeper sense, like where did Chazal see the Yayin in that word?
Just saying
that he did. Right. Unclear. But what the Rishonim are relating to, this Gemara that says Zecheru Al Yayin. And I guess the question is that what the pasuk means, or is that coming on top of the pasuk? How do we see that in the pasuk? Good question. I wonder if the Torah community has what to say about it. Maybe take a look there. In any case, so the Rav discussed this in a number of different places in the Shiurim Zecher Rav Mori. There's a couple of different pieces in the Shiurim Zecher Rav Mori that are involved Kiddush. Probably at least three different shtiklos in that sefer, and different nekudas about it are scattered throughout the different shirams, like reference to a couple of different shirams, but throughout that sefer, the Rav has discussions related to this. And one point he makes there is that he thought this might be relevant to the machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai as to how the Baruch Pri HaGafen and Kiddush are set up. That we paskin that Baruch Pri HaGafen is first, and Kiddush, the bracha of Kiddush, is afterwards. But Beis Shammai would have flipped it. Beis Shammai would have had Kiddush first and then Baruch Pri HaGafen. And he thought that maybe that might be the machlokas. That is the idea that it's first Kiddush and then the Baruch Pri HaGafen afterwards because of the wine that was there, like benching, bench first and then Baruch Pri HaGafen afterwards. Or is it that Kiddush and Baruch Pri HaGafen are really one unit together, so you start with the Baruch Pri HaGafen and have Kiddush in the middle. And the fact that we paskin like Beis Hillel and we have Baruch Pri HaGafen first, that's an indication that it's really part of the Kiddush and it's now like benching where it's coming afterwards. It could be the Baruch Kiddush would be a hefzik. But also, it's just the structure would be more like benching. At first, we did our benching while holding the glass of wine. And now we want to drink the wine, so we make the bracha on the wine. While if you say that the bracha is part of the Kiddush itself, so then it could come first. The problem, though, with this theory, which I'm not totally sure how to reconcile, is, at least for our intents and purposes, we're going to assume, as we'll discuss later, that Havdalah is different, that Havdalah is more clear of a case of Bracha Lakos. But in Havdalah also, we start with Berakha Gafen. So how exactly that fits in, I'm not sure. But that's what the Rebbe wanted to find, that it should be dependent on that issue of Beisil and Beishamai, where the Bracha is put around. The Gemara also does seem to imply something special about the Berakha Gafen of Kiddush, the discussion of Arbus and Rashtan and Afkos Tess, that the Gemara there basically lays down the rule that the concept of Arbus means, the concept of Arbus is not identical with Shemek Onah, it's related to Shemek Onah, that normally if I want to fulfill a bracha through hearing somebody else, so the din is that he has to be as chayev or more than I am. But if I've already fulfilled the mitzvah, so I'm not obligated at all. I don't have to do a mitzvah twice. Right? So if I've already read the Megillah on Purim, so I don't have to read the Megillah twice. I've already made Kiddush, I don't have to make Kiddush twice. So technically speaking, I should not be able to make Kiddush or read the Megillah for somebody who has not yet done that mitzvah if I have done it already, because I'm not chayiv. I'm not chayiv to do it twice. So I'm considered a mechuyiv. But that's not true. Because of the principle of Arvis, the principle of Arvis, Kol Yisrael Reis Zel Azad, means that it's kind of as if I am Chayev. If you haven't done your mitzvah yet, so I am Chayev. And that's a topic which we'll revisit in a few minutes in greater detail. So the concept of Arvis, the Gemara says, doesn't work all the time, but only works with brachas on mitzvahs. If the bracha is on a mitzvah, so then I don't have to actually be Chayev technically in the mitzvah right now in the sense of needing to do it. The fact that you're chayiv is enough to revive my chayiv. But if we're talking about food, so let's say I want to make a mazonas for you so you can eat the pretzels and I'm not going to eat them. So the fact that in general I'm chayiv in mazonas when I want to eat pretzels is not enough. I have to actually be eating pretzels now and then my mazonas can be real and then in theory you could be yotze with my mazonas. But if I'm not eating pretzels now, the fact that I'm in general chayiv in the bracha is not enough to have arvus work to make me make a bracha for you. That only works for brachas and mitzvahs, it works for kiddush and things like that, but it doesn't work for food. So the Gemara asks, so what should the story be? There are two food brachas which are unclear status. And that is Bari Pri HaGafen of kiddush, and also the Hamotzi of Masa. Because there, on the one hand, they're both food brachas, so Arvus should not work, but they're both obligatory eatings. So that kind of indicates somewhat of an in-between status as Bar Pri HaGafen of Kiddush. So on the one hand, it is food. On the other hand, it is part of a mitzvah, and maybe that's something different. And if you look at the Ritva there, so the Ritva has a comment over there in Rosh Hashanah where it kind of suggests that this bracha is kind of a hybrid status as a brachas hamitzvah / brachas hananin, and that's what kind of puts it in the different categories. So that's also a little bit of an indication that the Bari Pri HaGafen of Kiddush is something a little bit different. Rashi in Maseches Erevin and in Maseches Brachas, the two Rashis where he has a comment that's very striking, and the Rebbe picked up on this also. Here also the Rebbe is quoted by Rabbi Shechter in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. He makes this observation that the Lashon there is very strange and something the Rosh Hashanah got very upset about. That start with Brachas B'Mayim from the days. Thank you. That the concept of drinking the wine. So Rashi says, why do you drink the wine? So you drink the wine because gnai hu l'kol shel bracha, that you shouldn't taste from the wine. That here you have the kol shel bracha, and to not have some drinking of that wine is a disgrace to the kol shel bracha. And the Rashash goes crazy about that. That that's the opposite of what I would have thought. That I would have thought that here I'm making a bracha on a glass of wine, and now I want to drink the wine, but I can't drink the wine without a bracha, so I make a bracha so I can drink the wine. So really, I make the bracha over the kos, whatever it is, Bechamazon or whatever other mitzvah is of making all the kos. But in order for it to be mutter for me to actually drink the kos, I have to also make a bray for a god. But Rashi seems to be saying the opposite. Rashi seems to be saying that since I made the bracha al kos, I should now taste from it also. And you can ask a different kasha also, why does Rashi say gnai and not bracha l'batal? That's something that other Rishonim pick up on. It's a different question.
Rashi's going to go with the
Hagafet
or going
to go with
the Birch
HaSemitzah? Sounds like the Birch HaSemitzah. That's what the Rashi and the Ritva talk about, the bracha l'batal angle. But it sounds like, definitely from the reaction that the Rosh Hashanah has and others have, that he's talking about the Birch HaGafet. And that's a pillow, because I would have thought the other way around, that I want to drink the wine, so I need the bracha to be matur.
So it's a question.
Sorry?
So it's a question.
So that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that once I made the bracha, I have to drink from the wine. Yeah, I think that's what he means. I think that's definitely the way the Achronim are relating to it. Okay. And I just said the Rashi and the Ritva go further, and they say it's a bracha of a tala issue. So that's even more explicit. But that also maybe seems to indicate that there's something that's backwards here, that really the goal of the bracha is actually part of the Kiddush. And once we're making the bracha, so we want that there should be a drinking of the wine that's only appropriate once we've already made a bracha. It also shows you something a little bit different. As we mentioned, that we're going to assume that Havdalah is more of a straightforward bracha al kos. So based on that, Reb Chaim suggested a certain afkamina between Kiddush and Havdalah, which I experienced the Maisa. I asked Rabbi Tversky about this issue of Maisa once it came up, that the Magen Avraham quotes that, quotes from Rashi actually, that if you're, let's say you're davening Maariv Motzei Shabbos, and you just had a very inspiring Shalosh Shadar, and your Maariv is taking a very long time, and they start Havdalah without you. You haven't finished. So by the time you finish Ma'ariv, they're up to Baruch HaMavdil. So you didn't hear Baruch Pri HaGafen. And the whole Hinei Kael also, you missed all that, but you're all up to Baruch HaMavdil. So the Magen Avraham quotes that that's okay, you don't have to hear Baruch Pri HaGafen. In other words, he has to make Baruch Pri HaGafen, that's part of the structure of Havdalah. But that's what he's doing to make the bracha al kos. But it doesn't mean that you, in order to be Yotzei Havdalah, have to hear that bracha. Now, Reb Chaim suggested that this would not be true when it comes to Kiddush. But when it comes to Havdalah, so you don't have a need to hear the bracha al kos, you just have to hear the bracha itself. It's just the guy who's making Havdalah is doing it al kos, so he has to make a bracha al kos. But you don't have to actually hear that. But when it comes to Kiddush, so Reb Chaim suggested that that would not be the case. That when it comes to Kiddush, the Varech Pregafen is not simply in order that the Mavarech can drink the wine, but it's part and parcel of the Kiddush, and therefore it's crucial that you hear that as well. I remember this, like I asked Rabbi Tversky about this Lamaisa, because it happened in NCSY Kol, most of this happens all the time, that if you sit for the bracha of Varech Pregafen, so that causes a lot of problems, right? Because right, especially exactly. So if you're in a setting with a lot of people, so and everyone sits down, so then it's going to be impossible for you to get a bracha because everyone's going to be moving the chairs like crazy, and that's going to cause the shalat to come up all the time. So it could be that you're not Yosef Kiddush that way. That's what Reb Chaim suggested. And Reb Tversky thought I should be mindful for that to get Kiddush. And Reb Shechter was present at the time also. But he had washed already. But I think he also nodded that it was good to hear Kiddush again. That you should mind for this possibility that if you didn't hear the Baruch Pri HaGafen, then maybe we'd be able to Kiddush. Which again, in the case of Havdalah, the Magen Avraham says not true. But maybe this is the central difference between Kiddush and Havdalah. Another nafka mina that is probably relevant that some Svarim talk about. Let's say, for whatever reason, I forget to say the Baruch Pri HaGafen, but I drink the wine. So, I rather my say normal by Kiddush. Right? So, by normal brachas on food, if I forget and if I already ate the food, so my say it's profound. So, as far as Hilchos Berachos and Nidah, it's profound, you can make the bracha afterwards. You know, Berachos and Mitzvah, it's a machlokus for Shonim, whether or not you can make the bracha after the Mitzvah. But But when it comes to food, so it's not sure I have to make the bracha after the food's over. So if I, I eat a pretzel and I forgot to make a bracha and I'm not having any more, so there's nothing you can do about it. So fine, as far as the bracha is concerned, nothing you can do about it. But as far as Kiddush is concerned, so are you missing an element of Kiddush? So that's a shaila in Achronim. And that also, L'choru would tie into this question of what role exactly does the Bar Pri HaGafen play in Kiddush itself. And that also affects another issue, which is going to take us on a little bit of a detour. And that is the famous question of the Dagon Mervava. Dagon Mervava asks on the Magen Avraham that the Magen Avraham is mentioned this whole issue of whether or not Yayin is necessary in the Torah or not. So the Magen Avraham suggesting not that way. Magen Avraham suggests that it's possible to be Yosef Kiddush in Shul Friday night. Now, he's not making reference to the custom that most of us have that an actual Kiddush is recited Friday night. Right? The Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim tells us that such a minhag existed and Moshe still exists with Mount Zion. That was added there in order to be mostly people who were living in Shul. It's a discussion in posting whether or not that custom should continue nowadays, since usually there are not people living in Shul who are eating there Friday night. Sorry?
Really don't do it.
Okay. The three A's is the truth of that. I think probably still the vast majority of shuls do it. Take a quick survey here, but I think the vast majority of shuls probably, no? Not the majority?
Not on Pesach.
Right, not on Pesach or Sukkot, but on the Stam Shabbos, most shuls do. No, I'm wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. In any case, either way, we're not talking about that. Either way, we're assuming that the shul is not making kiddush. Nonetheless, the Magen Avraham says it can be yosei kiddush anyway in Minhag Torah because of the tefillah of Shabbos of Ma'ariv that makes reference to Shabbos. So, if the mitzvah of kiddush is only to say something Friday night, so you're doing that in Davin. So it could be that min haTorah you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. So based on that, Dagon Ravava had the following problem. Dagon Ravava and Simon Reish Ayin Aleph raised the following issue. that should cause a problem for all these families where the man goes to shul and his wife doesn't. And then he comes home and he wants to make Kiddush for the family. So Dagon Ravava thought that should be a problem. Because Kiddush is a egalitarian mitzvah. Right? Kiddush applies equally to men and to women. The Gemara in Brachas and Daf Chaf darshens the relationship between Zachar and Shomer, that kol she'eshno b'shmira she'eshno b'sechira, that whoever has an obligation to keep the losas of Shabbos has an obligation to keep Kiddush as well. Machlokas is shown whether all the assays were just Kiddush. Machlokas around in Benetam. But at the very least, is obligated in Kiddush. So the Gemara seems to be telling us that women are obligated equally in Kiddush to men. So Kiddush is just as obligatory on women as it is on men. So therefore, we have a problem, because says the Gemara Bava, because the women are obligated in Kiddush Min HaTorah, but the men are not. Because the men went to shul, and they fulfilled their obligation of Kiddush Min HaTorah, and therefore they're only chayiv midrabbanan. So how can a chayiv drabbanan be motzi a chayiv Min HaTorah? Right. Assuming the husband made Kiddush. It used to be such a minig. The husband used to make Kiddush.
I have to wear a minig.
So how could that be? So the man's only chayiv midrabbanan. So you'll say, well, what do you mean? It's Pasha. We just discussed it a few minutes ago, right? We just said 10 minutes ago that there is a concept called Arvis, that even if I fulfill a mitzvah already, that doesn't remove me from the status of Bar Chiyuv, from in theory of Bar Chiyuv in the Torah, so I'm just as much of a Bar Chiyuv if I've already done the mitzvah. So why is that not helpful according to the Dagon Ravava? Dagon Ravava, by the way, if you're not familiar, Dagon Ravava is Nod Vihuda. Nod Vihuda is Sefer and Shulchan Aruch is called Dagon Ravava. So according to the Nod of Yehuda, according to the Tzlach, Why? All the same. The Slach, the Nebbi Huda, Amar Vavil, all over Pechaz Glanda of Prague, according to the Nebbi Huda. What?
Go on,
that's no, the golem neighbor. And the golem questioner. No, he had it and then he went to the shul. The story has it that Nebbi Huda denied that there was a moat, and then he went to the shul and he started to open the door and he's like, actually. The Twilight Zone music playing at the door. Got scared off. Anyway, so the Nebbi Huda. The Rebbe Huda says not true that Arvus is not going to work. Why not? Because there's a rush. The rush in brachas and avchav. It sounds like from that rush that there is no Arvus by women. So if there's no Arvus by women, so therefore the man is not enabled in kiddush making through the principle of Arvus.
The rush does it both ways.
So the Dagmar Vav himself suggests that as a possible answer. There are many answers that others have come and said to Dagmar Vav, but he himself, before leaving the question, he suggests maybe that's the answer, that maybe it's not both ways, that maybe the rush only meant that women can't use Arvus for men, maybe men can use Arvus for women, and maybe that's the answer, but he's not sure, and he doesn't really know what the deal is. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thanks, Adam. Great.
Bad
time.
Yeah. Can't the man, the husband, just have in mind not to yield to with?
So that is one of the approaches. There are at least four standard approaches to what the answer is, and that's one of them. But first, before the one we should mention first is the Rebbe Akiva Eiger,
famous
Rebbe Akiva Eiger, like Rishonim, right?
Rishonim.
Sorry. So Rebbe Akiva Eiger in that same sentence, sure. But he's named after. See, he suggests—that's where guy's name from—that he suggests that no, that the whole understanding is wrong. That it's not true. There's no Arvus by women. Well, you think we're going to discriminate? We're just going to exclude them from Arvus? It's not what the Rush meant. What the Rush meant. And this is very mustaber. So what the Rush meant is that Arvus only keeps your obligation alive on behalf of somebody who shares your core chiv, your base chiv. So the context the Rush was talking about was Birkas HaMazon. And in Birkas HaMazon, the Gemara has a suffix whether that women are obligated in that way. So the assumption in that context, let's say women are only obligated to Rabbanan and benching. So what the Rush was saying is that as far as benching is concerned, it doesn't make sense to say that, okay, this man was already yoke benching, but now his chiyuv is still there because he's got to worry about this woman who's not really part of his chiyuv. So why should he have to worry about somebody who's not really part of his chiyuv? That keeps his chiyuv alive. That doesn't make sense because she doesn't really share his chiyuv in order to keep it alive. So I don't have to worry about somebody who's not part of my core chiyuv. But when it comes to Kiddush, as we said, so Kiddush is equal. Kiddush is shared equally between men and women. So then it is Mustaber that should keep the man's obligation alive. So that's one approach. That's what the Rebbe Akiva Eiger says right there on the spot, right there in Shulchan Aruch, and he discusses Mishuvos as well, if I'm not mistaken, it's someone in Mishuvos also. It is also that not in the Reish right now, so we'll skip that one. But the Rebbe Akiva Eiger in Shulchan Aruch says like that, he thinks their whole premise of the Rush is, whole premise of the Dagmar Vava within the Rush is wrong. There are a couple of other answers. As Aaron was suggesting, one is, like the Mishnah Berurah says, and like the Yeshivas Chasam Sofer says, that there's two versions of this answer. It could be that we don't have Kavanah to be Yotzei Kiddush in that context, either because we Stam don't, or we, in general, intend not to, because we recommend against splitting up your fulfillment of mitzvahs, not just because we're worried about this whole situation with the wife, but we always want to avoid having a mitzvah done in two stages, that we want to do the mitzvah in one shot, when the deraisa and the rabban is together. And we don't want you to fulfill a deraisa and then be chayav on a mitzvah on a level of the rabban and have to do the rabban later. That's why some people have an inyan not to sing Tzor Mishaloh during the meal, because they're worried that Tzor Mishaloh will fulfill an obligation of benching Minat Torah. They're still going to have to bench anyway, because the Tzura of brought some other rabbanon and told me mechayevim, but they're worried that they're going to fulfill benching and atar. So what's so terrible? What's so terrible is that we don't want to do that. We don't want to. We think it's not an ideal way to do things to have the king deraisa first and then still be chayev drabanan. We want to do the deraisa in the way that it's supposed to be done together with the drabanans. So for that reason, as the Chatham Sofer writes, he has two different versions of it in different places. But the basic idea is that we can assume that people either actively have negative kavana, not to be yotzei kiddush and shul, or astam, they don't have the kavana because of the way it's set up, and it's not such an issue. Hi.
It's the kiddush and shul, or is the vayichu?
It's vayichu. We're assuming now that this is the Magen Avraham's comment, and as some of the answers also make clear, is that we're not talking about necessarily about the full blown kiddush. We're talking about the mention of Shabbos in the
Shabbos.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's only one. Right. So that's another approach, not even one of the four areas talking about. That there are those who suggest, but this is the opposite of what we're saying, right? You know, the opposite answer, but there's some discuss. I don't know. I didn't see this in Sfarim. I think probably for this reason, because it's the opposite. See, we just said that people have kavana not to be yotzei in shul because nobody wants to split up their chiyuv. Nobody wants to hold their eisa, and then only the chayav drabanan and then the drabanan. There are those who say, again, I didn't see this in Sfarim, but maybe for this reason, I don't see it in Sfarim, but to suggest the opposite answer, that tell your wife to either daven ma'ariv or to somehow fulfill Kiddush Daraisa some other ways so that she'll be knocked down towards Rabbanan, and then you'll be able to emotes here. But that seems to be a very not ideal approach for a lot of different reasons, one of which, again, is the opposite of what we just said, that people doubtfully don't want to do things like that. And that's why I don't think that's such a popular suggestion in Sfarim, just to hear people talk about it. The whole shayla, parenthetically, you know, the whole shayla of negative Kavanah is down the shayla in Rishonim, that it's a undisputed point of Talmudic law, it's an unresolved point, excuse me, of Talmudic law, whether or not Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah, it's a very disputed point, it's an unresolved point, whether or not Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah, within the possibility that Mitzvah ain't Shrichas Kavanah, that it's possible to fulfill a Mitzvah without having Kavanah, it's Vaiter Machlokis, whether or not you can, if you have negative Kavanah, does that knock you out of the picture. Like, okay, it's one thing to not have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah, but if I say I davka don't want to, so will that rule you out of the mitzvah? That's also machlok shishon v'ritzvah writes in Rosh Hashanah that doesn't help. I feel oymed v'tzeveich, a person is yelling and screaming, I don't want to be yotzei this mitzvah, I'm not interested, I'm not interested. He's still yotzei this mitzvah anyway, which would mean I'm not doing the mitzvah. And other rishonim turn out that way, that negative kavanah works. And again, we're not assuming that negative kavana is something that's only done by lahachasniks, the doctor won't get mitzvahs, but sometimes it's done by very religious people who don't want to split up the mitzvah or something like that, or have whatever technical reason why it's not an appropriate time for them to fulfill a mitzvah. And that could be one suggestion here. That's, sorry? Luvanesra, as far as not, I mean, flip the, right.
Is the
Rosh
is that also by
mitzvahs of
Dibur or only by
mitzvahs
of
Maisa? Well, how we pasken in general, mitzvahs kavana is mentioned in Shaila, and there are those from Machalik based on Dibur and Maisa factors. But that's only, everything is a question. How do we pasken in general? Do we pasken in a split? That's all an issue. So those are, yeah.
Based on this, it doesn't sound like the finish more necessary, but in terms of the traditions made in Shul, should you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo?
Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo, I mean, in general, it's two davkli mafsika.
Yeah.
But that's only for the bracha. But we're worried it might be a sekirish.
I'm saying it doesn't sound like the Shmoneh.
Right.
The one in Shul.
Right. It won't help at all because we're having this problem without even coming on to the actual bracha kiddush.
So,
right. And that could possibly that kiddush, but that's not going to help us so much. So that's two of the four answers. One answer is the negative kavana, or just the Rabbi Akiva Eger's approach that the rush is being misunderstood here. Well, it's also in the paragraphs after Shmon Esrei, but it's also in, I think, in Shmon Esrei itself. Yeah,
that's the one.
The whole tefillah of Shabbos that makes reference to the Shabbos. So the other problem, and again, this is. Showing that we're not talking about the Alakos Kish, we're talking about Shmon Esrei, is that it's missing a mention of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim, which is the Kamech Haskena Christ. That's Makid, that's how he deals with this issue. that you can't fulfill Kiddush and Shul unless you're actually making Kiddush. But again, assuming we're just talking about davening, that's missing Zichir Sias Mitzrayim. So that's also no good. I recall hearing a Wesolowski mention one in reference to the point you made a minute ago, that there are those who are concerned that Akiva mentioned that if you want to get the wife to be Yotze Kiddush Min HaTorah without you, so have her say Good Shabbos, because there are those who felt that that is a fulfillment of Kiddush, just saying Good Shabbos. I remember Rabbi Sobolowski mentioning, right, so that's why there are those who are machmir that on Friday afternoon they don't want to say Good Shabbos because they're worried there might be a Kabbalah Shabbos, and then they're not going to be able to drive home after they leave work and say Good Shabbos people. But so what Vasilovsky mentioned is really Zechiras of Mitzrayim seems to be Ma'akev. And also, it's not just mentioning Shabbos, you also have to mention the Kedusha of Shabbos. So in order to have a problem, you probably have to say, if it works, good Shabbos, Kedusha, Zechiras of Mitzrayim. Unless you do that. Sorry? It was Wednesday night. But Vasilovsky's chabur is Thursday night, so getting into closer to a problem. It's already Friday when he said that phrase. But that's another approach. The fourth approach is also, it's Machlokes the Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, whether or not the idea, we assume that this Kiddush Mokum Suda is Makiv, but whether or not that din is it din minat Torah or not? Is machlokas ever shown him? And of course, the Magen Avraham doesn't get off the ground if you assume that Kiddush Makom Suda is ma'akev. So the whole point is just working off the Magen Avraham. But it basically, this answer is basically just saying that the Magen Avraham's Tanakh is wrong. The idea that you can be yotzei in Kiddush, you go to Kiddush and Shul is not true because the Makom Suda aspect is ma'akev.
That's talking about even the Kiddush to make Shul.
Even the Kiddush to make Shul, yeah. Even though, again, the way the mission explains, the reason we made Kiddush and Shul is because we're eating there. But nonetheless, assuming that you're not one of those people who are eating there, it's not going to help. Hi.
So this the Bishop of Passos is the guy that Kiddush from Akum Suda, that all comes together if one visit extra piece of addition to the.
The person himself making Kiddush. The guy who's making Kiddush, not everyone else who's
making Kiddush. Right, it's not a problem for us, it's a problem making Kiddush itself. And you drink the cup, so you get one, if you get two of these, it's that he's been able to...
Just in the Kaddish, not anyone else. Right, so again, so he would only have three answers to explain why he doesn't have the problem. No, he wouldn't have the Christmas rhyme either, he'd only have two answers. Right. Or whatever other answers would come up, but he had at least two other answers. Okay, in any case, so just to kind of bring this to a close. So, again, to get some perspective on this, so why should it be? So why should it be that Bayt Paragafen is part of Kiddush and integral things? And you find that Kiddush in general is set up in an unusual way. Kiddush is really very... And I feel a strong kinship here. Kiddush is really very food-focused. That we have this Kiddush Makom Suda idea. We have a Indian not to eat before Kiddush. And as the Magen Avraham points out, and this is very Yeshua, the whole truth about, it's unusual because in general we have a din of not eating before mitzvahs. But the way it manifests itself in Kiddush is clearly much more chomer than every other not eating before mitzvah concept. So there's a lot of interaction between food and Kiddush. And the Rav suggested that the hesbir was as follows. And again, you have to splice together different pieces in the Shir Mosaic Rav Mori to get to this. But the Rav suggested as follows, that perhaps there is an idea that a berchas hanen in bedavka should be incorporated into Kiddush, because they are thematically the same. Now, what's the idea of a berchas hanenin? So we know the Gemara says that we have the stira that Lashem haaretz umlava, Lashemayim shemayim Lashem. That on the one hand, God has bilus over everything, over the land as well. And then the Gemara says, but the pasuk also says Lashemayim shemayim Lashem haaretz nasum bnei adam, that God gave us the land. So which one is it? Is He holding on to land? Did He give it to us? So the Gemara says, "Kan kaidin brach, kan lachar brach." And the idea being that the only heter to enjoy this world, which is a good idea in general, but the only heter to do that is if we first acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. And once we make that acknowledgement, then it's mutter for us to partake. But without that acknowledgement, then it's inappropriate. And it's, Mark calls it meal. So too, Shabbos is the same idea, that Sheishas Yom Kavo, that we benefit from this world, we work this world for 6 days, only because one out of those seven days, we take a step back and we acknowledge that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, and again, that's why this topic is very much related to this week's parasha, it's a gracious topic, that because we, one out of the 7 days, we acknowledge that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, and we do that in a very major way, that's what enables us to take advantage of the world the other 6 days. So it's very relevant that the bracha of Kiddush, which brings in that whole concept, which kind of sanctifies Shabbos, is incorporating a Berachas HaNeinim, because Berachas HaNeinim makes that point also. We're only able to partake of this world because we step back and we acknowledge Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea of Shabbos also. So in order to bring in Shabbos, we incorporate a Berachas HaNeinim into the procedure that makes that same point. And that's Dama Bracha HaLakos, but the Berachas HaNeinim in the process itself, because that is the same message. And that is, of course, different in the perspective of Kiddush that is also according to the name of the Rav, Rav Shaktur had a role in also, that we mentioned in the context of Tosef HaShabbos. Right? That there we mentioned a different context, that the whole Shiloh was that if the Rambam doesn't acknowledge Tosef HaShabbos, which is a possibility, because he doesn't talk about it at all, so how does he allow us to make Kiddush on Friday afternoon? Because the Gemara says Tayyar should make Kiddush on Friday afternoon, and the Rambam has to deal with that while still not acknowledging the concept of Tosef HaShabbos. So Rav Shaktur suggested, based somewhat to some degree on the Rav, I think, that the idea was that Kiddush doesn't actually have to be made on Shabbos, because the role of Kiddush is an announcement that we alluded to earlier. This machlokas we're going to time in the Ran on the 16th parak of Shabbos as to the obligation of women in Shal Shudas. There are two opinions as to women's obligation in Shal Shudas. Opinions are yes and yes. The question is why? According to Rabbeinu Tam, women are obligated in Shal Shudas because of Afen Hayubosu Hanes. And according to the Ran, it's because of this Rashi mentioned by Kiddush, a cultivation of the Shmiriation of the Zechir. Whoever is obligated in the Losa say is obligated in the Yasei. So the Ran understands that Shabbos is a package deal, that if you're obligated in the don'ts, you're obligated in the do's. But Rabbeinu Tam, who gives you a different reason for Shal Shudas, and he must see it in a much more constricted way, that's only that if you're obligated in the Malachas, you're obligated in Kiddush. So apparently there's a special relationship between Kiddush and the Malachas. So what is that relationship? So the suggestion was that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that one of the reasons we have a kind of muksa is because there are some people who aren't going to work on Shabbos, not because they're religious, but only because they're lazy. Because they don't work any day, so they're not going to work Shabbos either. So we need to have some type of clue that we call the Shvisa Nikeres, that the Shvisa on Shabbos is intentional, it's not just a function of laziness. And so Kiddush is supposed to be an announcement that that's what is going on. You make Kiddush to say, the fact that I'm not doing Malacha is not because I'm lazy, but it's because I am recognizing Kedusha Shabbos. And that announcement doesn't have to be on Shabbos itself, it can be sometime close to Shabbos. That's a very different perspective. That the Kiddush is not just about incorporating this whole statement about Berachas HaNeinim, but is an announcement on the Malachas. Two possible perspectives on what Kiddush is about. Alright, so just to sum up, so we discussed what is the role of the Baruch HaGafen in Kiddush, and Machlokas HaRishon, whether it's an obligation of the Torah or not. So our three positions, it's obligation of the Torah, an obligation of the Rabbanan, or a minhag Torah to have the wine, the Rabbanan to drink it. And then we discussed this question of what is the obligation of the Baruch HaGafen. Is it just to make a bracha al kos, or is it somehow part of Kiddush itself? We mentioned the statement of the Gemara that the bracha of Kiddush has a strange status as far as Yotzimotsu, as far as Arvus is concerned. We discussed the Rav's comments on the Machlokes B'Sol B'Shamay about how where the Baruch HaGafen fits. We discussed a couple of nafkaminas, such as if you make Kiddush and drink wine without making a bracha, or if you if you miss the Bayi Paragafim when somebody else is making Kiddush, so when it comes to Havdalah, Magen Avraham quotes from Rashi that you are Yotzei, Rechaim, but that's not true by Kiddush. Which works from Rosh Hashanah as well, thank you, Nachmar, for having me nice of. And actually, when Rosh Hashanah was Nachmar, I said, but first he said, yes, Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah couldn't talk, but he nodded. What happened? And then we discussed the Magen Avraham's position also, that you can be Yotzei Kiddush in Shul, and how that gave rise to the Gemara Vava's question of, then how can you make Kiddush for your wife if she's obligated to draw a man and not tell her when you're obligated to draw a bottom? So I discussed the four answers in addition to that, Gemara Vava's own suggestion that maybe the rush doesn't go both ways by Arvus, but the four other answers that one, Rabbi Akiva Eger, that he's understanding the rush wrong, that Arvus only doesn't apply if the rush is on the Kathia. And the other answer may be you have Kavanah not to be Yotzei, or you don't have Zechiras in Mitzrayim, or you don't have Makom Suda, any of those maybe knocks out the whole issue. And then we just discuss, so why would it be L'maisa that Kiddush incorporates Bayi Paragafim in a integral way, more so than other things, because maybe they share the same theme, that both Kiddush and Berchanan are about acknowledging Kadosh Baruch Hu's role in making the world, and it's only that that allows us to benefit from the world. All right, so we'll stop there. Next week, if you don't mind, a few weeks on